All right. Well, good morning, Sunrise. We're blessed, Joe. Team, thank you. I texted Joe, said, hey, man, I've got to preach this coming. Well, whenever I texted him about preaching this date, and he was like, all right, cool. He was like, full team. And I texted him this morning. I said, sorry, buddy. We're so grateful. I actually love when we get to kind of strip back and have an acoustic set to really hear ourselves sing and really worship together. While we do that with a full team, sometimes it's nice to have a strip back. We do want to celebrate. I texted and asked if it was okay. Our keys player, JR, and his wife, Megan, have had their baby this past week, and they texted us just a little bit ago and said they were hoping to come home today. So it is a big celebration to just thank God. Something we celebrate here at Sunrise often is life and life that God gives. And that starts in the womb, that starts at conception. And we are so grateful each moment that we get to celebrate life that has come because of the miracle of Jesus and what he's given us. So we are excited to meet baby James. If you're watching, which maybe you are, when my wife had our son, it was Easter weekend. And I remember watching both services, like feeling like, is this wrong? Like nurses are coming to check and I'm like trying to hear what Pastor David's saying. But just celebrating what God is doing is something that we do often. And I know that we say it a lot, but man, we got so many volunteers, our worship team, our production team. Sam doesn't like when I call him out. I think he's actually serving on production. Our Sunrise students have been gathering now, I think it's like over two years now. That's our student ministry that started. And what's cool about that is the majority of the students who show up on Wednesday evenings are not in church. And so we celebrate that. And I say that because we've been walking through Colossians this year, talking about who Jesus is. So we're actually saying, hey, let's take a step back. And you know, even these kids, maybe if they weren't all raised in church, if you say, hey, who is Jesus? They're like, he saved us of our sins. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? They're like, And we start walking through the process of why it matters who we believe Jesus is. And so when we open a book like Colossians, Paul spends two chapters sending this letter to a church in Colossae saying, hey, I know that you're following Christ. I know that you've given your life to Christ, but now we've got some false teachings that are entering in, and you need to know exactly what you believe about who the Son of God is, about who it is that you've put your faith and your trust in. And so I think if I was to say, hey, let's take our Connect cards out right now, no matter where you've been in church, no matter what you've done, and I want you to write in five or six lines who Jesus is, and then I got those cards and read them out loud, I think we'd be surprised at some of the answers we got. And it's always amazing to me as we kind of sit through and maybe we've been at Sunrise since we started 9, 10 years ago. Maybe you've been in church your whole life. But when someone asks you the question, hey, who is Jesus? What is your purpose in life as a follower of Jesus? You get so many answers. And the reason that Colossians is such a beautiful picture of who Jesus is and then how we implement that is because, hey, one, it's only four chapters. So you say, hey, I haven't really read much of the Bible. It's a great place to start. And because we can open up and we can see, and I'm not going to walk us through the whole book, but I did want to give some context that in the first couple chapters that we're not going to read, Paul just explains, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one who helped create the world, who holds the world together. He's the one that has transferred us from the domain of darkness. Each person born on this earth is now born with the sin nature, saying, hey, we may not be good enough to get to heaven, but Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose again, is alive today. And because of that, we can be in right standing of the Father. Because of that, we can know that our eternity has been changed, which is why it says in Colossians 1, we've been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that one day we will be with him for all of eternity. And we take those things and we say, man, that gives us so much hope in a time where sometimes it feels very hopeless. Because I know there's a lot of people coming into the doors today who say, man, I don't feel a whole lot of hope right now, whether that's in my family or my marriage. You know, we had a crazy couple weeks. Just in these last couple weeks here at Sunrise. And so Pastor David and I drove to Tampa Sunday after church to go to a convention. And as we're there, we're talking, you know, working through some stuff. And I'm almost feeling like, man, this life is crazy. Ministry's hard. Church is hard. And then we start getting reports. Next day, Pastor David gets a text from a friend. Hey, my father-in-law's passed away. The family's dealing with a death, and you just start to take a step back and remind yourself how fast life can pass you by. We hear from another pastor while we're gathering there that there's another family, godly guy, and his that are just struggling, and their marriage is struggling. And it made me take a step back and say, God, thank you for where I am right now. That life is not hard. I mean, life is hard. It's not easy. And we walk through, and sometimes we feel so alone. And then we hit these moments where you realize when you have true Christian love and true Christian community, life is much easier. Because you start to get a text from somebody saying, man, he passed away. He wasn't doing good. This happened so quickly. And they can know, reaching out, not only you care, but that they're actually prayed for. Not the, hey, I'm praying for you. And then you see them and they give you an update and you're like, oh yeah, I was definitely not praying for you. But that you actually prayed, that you actually have people in your corner when things are hard and you say, I need to talk. You're not scared of what's going to be said about you or thought about you. You will only get love and prayer in return. And that's what Christian community looks like. And the only way that's possible is when we understand what it is that Christ has done for us and how much he loves us. Because if we can take a step back and say, regardless of all the things that we've done wrong in this life, which the count is many, that God still looks down with love, we can say, all right, I should be able to love the guy that maybe I don't really like. You know, I know there's a lot of people in our lives we say, don't really like that guy. I've said that too often. And I find myself saying, yeah, but God has created him in his image. We can love each other. We don't have to be best friends, but I can love and respect and pray. And so I say all these things because Pastor David had a great word as we closed out our series last week. And a lot of what he focused on was loving well. Like what it looks like, even to love the outside, those who don't know Christ, how do we love them well? And as we move towards the end of this year, which is crazy, and then we move into next year, and we want to be a church that has true community, that really actually loves each other. You know, I think it is one of the saddest things in the world how many people tell you the bad experiences they've had in church. The gossip, you know, the slander, the horrible things that are said, the way they were treated, the way they were judged, and they never want to step foot back in a building that should be full of the most loving people in the entire world. Because as we step back and say, God knew how sinful I am and how sinful I was and the mistakes that I'd make, but he forgave me and loved me. Even when I know better, I still sin against him and he still looks down with nothing but love. And so it's like, all right, how do I take a step back and say, I am going to love people the way Jesus loves me? And it starts with saying, this is who Jesus is. The savior of the world, the perfect sacrifice who lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose 3 days later, all so that we could be forgiven of our sins and be in right standing with God. That is true love. And so now we get past that and we get into chapter 3 of Colossians. We're just going to spend a few moments here. Our students haven't actually gotten into this text yet, but after I heard Pastor David, he schedules everything out. We pray through the year and I saw where he was going and I heard his message and I switched my text that I was leaning towards. Because I just thought, man, we need to make sure we understand what true love in the church looks like. We need to make sure that we're not just saying, oh, hey, at Sunrise City Church, we love God, we love people, we live the word. And you're like, well, what does that mean? How do we live the word? And one, it takes knowing the word. It takes spending time with God. But as we walk through a book like Colossians and we say, man, this is who Jesus is. He has transferred us from the domain of darkness. And now he's telling us at the beginning of chapter 3 in the first 4 verses, he's saying, hey, look to eternity. Set your minds on the things above in heaven, not on the things of earth. And you know why he's telling us that? Because earth is hard. And you know, you could be in the lowest moment of your life right now. You could be running from God and you forget that there is an eternity that is much longer and greater than the quick time on earth. And we want to make sure we're ready for it. And so as we say, keep your eyes on things above, you start to say, okay, how do I love people well? You know, I love when Pastor David, I've heard him talk. Kelly's in the house, in the back, so I don't have to feel bad. He's talked about the dry rack dishes story, the strife that it has caused in their marriage. And, you know, he said, hey, don't just flippantly tell people I love you and you walk out the door and you come back and argue. Just last night, my wife, I have a couple roles at the house that I do at night. Make sure the lights are off, make sure the AC is set right, and that the doors are locked. Doesn't matter how many times we do this. I lay down. She's like, hey, are the doors locked? I'm like, yeah, I got them. She's like, but did you? I'm like, I got them. And she's like, but for real. And I'm like, you can go check. And then it's, hey, did you check the AC? Yeah, I got it. I set it. Well, what'd you set it on? I was like, why does it matter? And then it's, well, Luke's, our 18-month-old, he's like, Luke's room says it's, you know, 67. I'm like, he's all right. And we walk through this and we kind of joke, but then I just stop answering the question. I'm like, you can go look. And we say this because we find ourselves in these stupid little moments where you're kind of just saying, hey, we're just walking through life. And we start to realize that now I look at my life from a year and a half ago while we're in the hospital during Easter weekend. And I look at all that's happened in 18 months. And now my son at least will say, pray and do the hands prayer. He doesn't know what he's praying. He doesn't close his eyes. But we start to realize, man, I love this kid so much. And all I really want for him is to come to know Jesus as soon as possible, so that his life makes an impact, not just on earth, but for all of eternity. And so I say all that to say the love that we have for each other, as we're gonna read here, it matters so much. Because the impact we have as a church who loves each other well carries far outside of these walls. And when we don't love each other and we decide, hey, we are going to cause strife and malice and we're going to argue and we're going to gossip and we're going to leave here mad, boy, I can't tell you how bad of a testimony that is to the world, that the church who has the eternal mindset of a God that loves them, that saves them, that wants them to spend eternity with them, can't get along on a Sunday morning for an hour. And so we're going to read through some of this, and I'm going to go ahead and read the full scripture we're going to go through. It's in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. And it says this, therefore, so he's covering, look, we just covered, he's telling us who Jesus is. Just in the previous verses, he's saying, hey, we got to put off our old selves. We are saved by Christ. The old is gone and the new is here. And this is what our new life should look like. Verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. I promise I did not pick this because it's Thanksgiving week and it said thankful. I just want to make that clear. Let the word of Christ richly dwell among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God, we are thankful this morning. God, to be able to stand here and worship you together as a church family, to celebrate the fact that you have brought us hope. Hope and peace that nothing in life could ever give us, you did. And so God, we pray that you would continue to speak this morning as we dive into your word. God, we are praying that you would speak so clearly to each one of us, that when we open your word and your spirit's moving, that there isn't a life in here that shouldn't be changed and impacted because we have spent time with you. So we pray that you would continue to speak. It's in your name we pray, amen. So we're gonna start. Let's read verses 12 through 14 one more time. They say, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I've got a few things that I want to share with you. The first thing is our lives and our love should set us apart. Now look, as we dive into this, we start to realize that first verse, that we are God's chosen and holy ones that are dearly loved. We have been set apart. When we realize what it is that Christ has done and we realize that our lives have been forever changed, we now have an opportunity to live the rest of our lives glorifying the one who created us, saved us, and literally holds the world together, which should bring us hope, which should bring us peace. But I have an interesting thing when you read this and it says, put on compassion. He's saying, hey, you got to put these things on. Because I think if I said, hey, how'd you do this week in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, I would be the first to raise my hand, knowing I was preaching this text, to say I did not do these things all well. And so we start to have this idea of what it looks like to walk in Christ and to say, hey, when I wake up today, I'm going to put these things on. And you know, I think it's interesting. I didn't put the scripture on the screen, but a few verses earlier, he actually tells us to put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language. He's saying, hey, here's the things that we've got to put off in order to walk faithfully in him. And so when we talk about being holy and loved by God, he's saying, hey, we need to walk separately than our past. We need to love well, and that takes walking in compassion, kindness. My son, I feel like, is one of the most, well, every parent probably says this. I think he loves everyone until he looks at him and he's like, okay, you don't love this person. But we're at the park just yesterday. He says all the kids' name that he loves. He says, Pastor David's daughter, we pulled up and he's like, Ivy, Ivy. I'm like, she's not here. And then he's like, Piper is their other daughter. And he calls her Pie Pie, or I don't know, it's Pot Pie or something. And he's saying it over and over again. He's got the park to himself. But he's like, man, you almost like, I wish they were here. And then Luke gets out. And the minute another kid shows up and like gets on a swing that he can't even get on, he's mad. He's immediately like, nah. Never would he step foot on this swing. And the minute someone else is, he's mad. And I know, like, yesterday as I was at the park, I was like, man, sometimes that feels a lot to me like how I've loved others in the past. I love people. But sometimes when I see what either God is doing in their life or maybe in their ministry, and I'm like, that seems unfair. I want that. Like, I haven't seen that, and I'm working hard. I feel like I'm working hard. This doesn't feel fair. Maybe it's just another believer in my life, and it's just honest as I was watching Luke this play out in a 1.5-year-old where he sees this person that, I mean, him and Ivy will argue over a big red ball that we have in our thing. Like, it's a 50-cent ball. I'll go buy another one. And they find themselves in strife over something that is nothing. But I started to think, man, how am I supposed to live a godly life if I find myself looking to outsiders, either other people in the faith, and I'm like, what they have is not fair. I want that, and I can't believe they have that, and God didn't bless me with that. And I start to find myself saying, that's not humble. That's definitely not compassionate, and that's definitely not loving. And so we can stand here all day and say, we want to be a church that loves God, and we want to be a church that loves people. But to just tell you one thing that's very unnatural is forgiving other people when they wrong you. You know, I think when we read this, bearing with one another, you know, I love that he says that, because sometimes we literally have to bear with other people around us. We all may have family coming into town this week. And I'm not saying that those in the room that have family are thinking, all right, it's a few more days, you know, with the family here, we can make it. But I look at this kind of long-suffering idea of like putting on humility and kindness and compassion and patience, and then immediately to follow it with bearing with one another, forgiving one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. And I really wanted to make a point here to say it is very important for us to understand the idea of forgiveness. One, because I think it may be the most unnatural feeling and emotion in human life. Forgiving someone who has wronged you is a very difficult task. And it's not just like a, hey, it's good, but don't ever look at me or talk to me again. But I mean a genuine, I forgive you, let's move past this. I know we've probably all in our marriages had forgiving and trying to love your way through, but there's a lot of people I would venture to say, even in the room today, who would say there is someone in my life that I am holding anger towards right now that I need to forgive. Because if God is calling us to be a loving church who is set apart, whose life and love should be set apart from the world, we have got to be a forgiving people. And so the last verse here in this section, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Hey, the only way that we can be a church with all different backgrounds and all different levels of life and where you are and where you're working and your age, the only way that we can be unified is when we say we love each other the way that Christ loves the church. And that's a hard thing to do. But as we walk through and we say, I'm gonna wake up today and put on kindness and gentleness and patience. I'm gonna walk in the Spirit today. It makes things a little bit easier. And I do think there's a point to Paul saying, hey, you gotta put this on. You gotta wake up just like you're putting your pants on this morning, and you gotta put these things on. Because if you don't, you will revert back to anger, wrath, slander, and all of that. You know, just as Pastor David spoke a very heavy but very convicting word when it comes to sexual immorality, one of the things he said that really stood out to me was, you know, you got a big old group of friends that are doing this one thing, and while it may not look that bad, you know what's coming, you know what's in this show, you know what's in this movie, and you just go anyway. He's like, hey, you are immediately walking in sin. You are immediately just following what's coming. You know what's coming, but it's kind of like, I'm just going with the flow of what's happening around. And we have to hit a point where we say, you know what? I am going to be a person of character that God has called, and I'm going to put these things on each and every day. I want to read verse 15. It says, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. I can't believe I'm going to have them put this up. Put up number two. Our lives in Christ should lead us to thanksgiving. And again, as I almost didn't put this one, I promise you, because I'm like, this is like singing Good, Good Father on Father's Day. But the idea here is, how can we not truly be a people of thanksgiving when we've accepted that the King of the universe and the Lord of all loves us, walks with us, is alive, and his spirit is indwelling each person who has surrendered their life to him? How can we not be thankful? And so as I thought on this past week, and I just thought, man, there is so much difficulty in life. And I take heart in Colossians 3, 1 through 4 that says, set your minds on things above, not on the things of earth. Because it allows us to remember that there is an eternity coming where there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no death, and we are celebrating and rejoicing and worshiping forever. And so when you look at that, you are able to take these heavy weeks where there's death and when there's big family issues and when there's just a lot of suffering and sometimes what feels maybe unfair in your life. You can take a step back and say, God, I do not understand. And you know what? I really wish I could. I really wish sometimes I could say, God, why are you doing this? What good can come from this? And I used to tell Lacey all the time, you know, it won't always be like this. Like things would happen in church and I'm like, it won't always be this. I'm like, it'll always be like this. Life is going to be crazy. People are messy. We are sinful. But we can be thankful. And when we walk in thankfulness, we start to realize, hey, you know what? I am thankful for what God has done. And now that overflows into me saying, you know what? I forgive you. You know what? I love you. I will pray with you. I will be with you. I will walk with you. And when we start to put all these things together, we actually start to be holy and be separate and say, man, we're loved by God and we're actually living like we're loved by God. And so that's just something that I wanted to make sure that we understood. I actually put here, I texted Pastor David. I was on a run. Don't be impressed. It was slow. And I usually don't listen to like soft Christian music because who would do that when they're running? And I was like, you know what? I need a worship. I just need to do this. So I put some music on that I hadn't really listened to. And I was just thinking through my week and thinking through some people that we were praying for. And I was like, this is hard. Like, the burden that you carry when you love people is hard. And that's part of why I think, and I say this personally, why someone like me can spend time in life where sometimes I can withdraw, I can be in contact, but I'm not really loving the way that I need to because it takes work. And as I'm hearing this song and they're singing, they're just saying, God, you give us these things, you take away these things, but regardless, my song remains the same. You are enough for me. And when that is our mindset, we live thankful. We live in pursuit of holiness. We live in pursuit to love others because we want to see them know how good God is and how radically he changes our lives to the point that our eternity is forever changed. And so we're going to continue. Let's read verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The next thing I want you to put down is our lives should be full of worship. Look, I love Sunday morning gatherings. It was so nice to sit here and hear the team singing and hear you guys behind and just, I love to gather and worship. But if this is the only time that you are dwelling on the things of God in your life, then it really is something that I want you to think about and say why. If even here we're singing, hey, in the midst of what Paul is saying, now that you know who Jesus is, this is the way we should walk. He is intentionally in this one verse saying, hey, let's richly dwell on the things of God. Let's sing songs. Let's think of him. Let's admonish each other. Let's teach each other. And let's walk together to make sure that our lives, not just Sunday morning, but through the entire week, we're reflecting and dwelling on how good God is. Because again, if for an instant we lose sight of who God is and what he's done for us, we're not putting any of these things on. We can't, because we revert back to what is best for us, because that's just how we are as humans. What's best, what's easiest, what can we go? How can we do this in the quickest amount of time? And again, I say this about love because I have struggled in my life with the idea of sometimes truly loving the way the Bible calls, when you realize it takes more than just a text to say, hey, praying for you. Sometimes it takes vulnerable conversations. Sometimes it takes opening up and sitting for a few hours and just talking about what's going on, praying with someone and saying, hey, I'm here with you, because, hey, that's how we were called to live and that's how we're called to worship. Verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, this is probably the hardest pill for me to swallow out of everything we've read so far. I have over the years questioned, why do I do what I do? Why am I even here this morning? Why am I leading worship? Am I doing it because I like to lead worship and I like to sing? Is it because God called me? Is it because I really want to see God glorified today? Why am I giving to the church? Am I doing it because it tells me to, or I'm convicted because, you know, I want us to do overseas missions and now we're doing it because someone's giving. I need to give. Look, there are lots of good reasons to do things. But when it comes down to it, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Christ. So I've prayed a lot, even this morning, just conviction-wise. Like, I know what I'm preaching this week. And I looked back at the decisions I made and why I did them. And I can tell you firsthand, there are things that I did out of my own self-interest, just not really thinking about the things of God. And if I was to ask you, hey, in the last week of your life, were you reflecting on the things of God and saying, hey, here's why I'm doing this. Here's why I woke up this morning. Here's why I'm going to work. Here's how I'm going to function my wife, my family. Here's how I'm going to lead. Here's how I'm going to love others. It is because I want them to know Christ. It's because I want them to see the love of Christ. The last thing on the screen, our lives and actions should always exalt and point others to Christ. And I know what I don't want you to take from this is, oh, there was 4 points and I've got to apply these 4 points. And if I don't, then I'm not walking with the Lord. But I think it is essential for us regularly to be reminding ourselves how much Jesus loves us. And if that has transformed our lives, then these things, our lives and love should set us apart. Our lives in Christ should lead us to thanksgiving. Our lives should be full of worship. Our lives and actions should always exalt and point others to Christ. My question is not, hey, were you perfect in those things? Because if somebody raised their hand and said, I did all those things, I'd say, well, when we pray, you need to come to the altar and you need to repent because you're lying. But truly, could you say that in this moment, as I reflect, because you didn't know the question was being asked, but if you were to sit for a moment and say, is my life reflecting the love of Christ? Am I walking in compassion and kindness? Or am I walking in anger and malice and slander? Is my life truly outpouring thanksgiving to God? Or am I kind of in this mindset of life's not really fair right now? And life's hard, and God is treating me unfairly, because I know we've all been there. I have been there. But he is calling us to walk in thankfulness. He is calling us to be forgiving. He is calling us to live in a lifestyle of worship. And really, he's saying, hey, look, all I'm asking is that when you wake up, you seek me first. You spend some time with me. You talk with me. You seek me so that now when you walk out of the doors, you're ready for what the world's going to bring. Because while we don't know, we do know with each and every day that passes, I feel like life gets a little more difficult. Look, blessings happen. Life is good. I love my life and I love my family and I love this church. But the older I get, the more, halfway to 70. I've been saying that. I just turned 35. So the older I get, I just slowly start to realize, man, these lives and these families around us, life only gets harder. Sickness comes, death comes. And I want to make sure with every breath that I take that we would say, hey, God, I am here for one purpose, and that is to love you, to know you, and to make you known. And so as we walk through this life and we say, in this moment, I want to be someone who takes the truth of who God is and how much he loves me. And I want it to continuously transform my life. I want to grow in my faith. I want to walk in him. I want every decision and every factor and everything that I do to be reflecting of him. I want to love people more. Look, then I'd say, let's do it. Let's think about it. What can we do in word, in deed, in worship this week? Not just because it's Thanksgiving, but to say, I am going to spend this week more grateful to God for what he's done. And the more I remind myself that I am here to seek the things of God so that in eternity, when I cross the line and my life on earth ends, I can walk in and say, God, I may not have been perfect, but man, I did everything I could to love your people well and to see you made known. And that takes work. Thankfully, we don't have to work our way to heaven, because the minute we decide Jesus is Lord, he's saved us, he's forgiven us, he's risen, he's alive, the minute you confess that with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, you are saved, and your destiny forever is heaven. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, no matter what mistakes you may make. And so I'd say, if you have not given your life to Christ, if you know right now everything we've talked about, I think I believe it, but there's nothing here where I have confessed to God, I need you. I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me. And I need you to help me walk the right path. He'll do that in an instant. And now we take that word for those of us who say, hey, I have given my life to Christ. Hey, I've said our mission statement. I'm a member. But I know that I am not loving people well. And I want to. I want a better relationship with my family. I want a better relationship with my spouse. I want a better relationship with my best friend. You know, Pastor David and I, he shared a few weeks ago, we've had a lot more talks and a lot more vulnerability, I guess maybe more than we have in the past. We've known each other for a real long time. And it has been so, I don't know what to call it. It's like a lighter feeling of knowing that you can kind of talk and know that, hey, we've known each other forever. But there's some things we can talk about and pray for each other. And there is no judgment. There is no, it's truly just love you, praying for you. Let's walk this life together. Let's seek God and let's make him known. And so, man, look, there's a couple things we can do. We're gonna close. Jorge's up front. He's here. Pastor David's here. My wife's here. Anybody you've seen on stage, if you want someone to pray with you, we're here. If you want to come to the altar and say, man, I'm holding on to anger and hatred and I need to forgive. I need to call someone or go see them and say, I'm sorry that I've held this over you. I forgive you and God loves you. And that may need to be done. You want to confess that? You want to come pray for them? You just want to ask God to give you a desire and more of a passion to love those around you, to want to have a desire to put these things on, to say, I want to leave my house and seek the things of God. I want to make him known. I just haven't been intentional about it. Then let's pray together. Let's seek that together. And lastly, for those of you who have not made a decision to follow Christ, hey, it truly is a miracle that we can stand here and celebrate new life in baby James. That I can talk here. I preach a few times a year and I got to stop using Luke in every sermon because, hey, not everyone cares about your kid. I get that. But as I look at someone like my son and how much I love him and how much I would do for him, and sometimes I'm like, I get scared thinking about what he's going to do when he's like 16. I'm like, oh God, what are you doing, son? I'm like, okay, he's only 18 months. But then I think about God sending Christ to save us of our sins, to do everything he said he would do. And us realize that, understand that Jesus did these things, that he did it, if there was just you in the room, in the entire world, he did that for you so that you could be saved, so that you could be forgiven, so that your eternity would be changed, so that you could actually find satisfaction even here on earth, only through Jesus Christ. If you know, hey, I haven't done that and I need that. I need the forgiveness. I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus. Don't let the moment slip. Come find somebody, come pray. Because hey, in 100 years, you've heard it, I'm sure you've heard it before, what you did in your job doesn't really matter. How you raised your kids, hey, that matters. How you loved others, that matters. But what really matters is, was there the time in your life, like this morning, that God spoke to you and you said, I'm ready, I wanna follow you, I need your forgiveness. Or you turn the other way and say, no, I don't need that, I'll get it later. And then we don't know. So let me pray for us. God, we are so grateful. God, we're just grateful for your word. We are so thankful that we get to celebrate who we were before we knew you, and that you loved us anyway, and you have saved us of that. And we are asking that you would help each one of us today say, how do I love your people more? Not so that we make ourselves feel better, so that there's just some weight lifted, but because you have called us as a church to be unified in love. And so whether that means confessing some sin to each other, whether that means just reaching out and saying, hey, I'm sorry for what I've done, or hey, I know that we've had some issues in the past, but let's get past this, let's forgive each other, and let's move on. It is God glorifying, it is God honoring. And we pray that you would just lay that on our hearts so that we can leave this place as a more loving people who are searching for community within the church, because we all need love, support, and community. And that only should come in the healthiest form inside of a church building where those who know you and love you and worship you are able to fellowship together regardless of our differences. God, for those in the room who don't know you, if you're speaking and you're moving in their life, if he is moving in your life right now to come talk to someone, when we're done praying, God, help them make the move. Give them the strength to come talk to somebody so that they can be prayed for and we can celebrate life change, because only you can provide that. So God, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Band's going to come back up. The acoustic guitar is already up. We're going to sing one more song, All Hail King Jesus, where every knee bows, every knee and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. Look, if you need to confess that you need Jesus and you want to be saved, there's no better time than right now. You can come find somebody standing up front. They'd love to pray for you. Otherwise, let's sing together.